the book of the Revelation, chapter 9, and we're going through from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Last week we looked very carefully at the first 12 verses of chapter 9, and now we're doing the second half from verse 13 to the end of verse 21. But I want to sort of challenge the meeting, first of all, by saying this to you. If I ask you now to close your Bibles, could you give me a broad outline, and I mean a broad one, of these first 9 chapters of the book of the Revelation? If I made you stand up, some of you who have been here from the beginning, could you do it now? Supposing I were asked to do it in a broad outline, this is how I would do it. I would say that in the first 3 chapters, we see the church of Jesus Christ on earth, and the Lord in the midst of the churches. And then in chapters 4 and 5, we see the church in heaven. That distinction must be clearly made. There's a great multitude in heaven, and they're singing. They're singing, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And I'm very sure that when a great multitude is singing, "Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood," that this is the church in heaven. I don't think you would dare to argue against that. So in chapters 1, 2, 3, you see the church on earth. And in chapters 4 and 5, you see the church in heaven. Christ has come and the translation has been made. In chapter 6, if you remember it rightly, the Lord in heaven, before the whole church assembled around him, is opening the book that he had taken from the hand of God. I said one evening that he became the executor of God's will for this earth. And God hath willed that he will readjust things down here. And there's a lot of evil to be dealt with. So he takes the church home. And then Christ starts to deal with the readjustment of earth. You remember he opened this book, seal by seal. It was sealed, and he opened the first seal, and the white horse came, and the second one, and the red horse came, and the third one, and the black horse came, and the fourth one, and the pale horse came. And you remember we looked carefully at these, and the first one meant that God was sending strong delusion to this earth. And the second one meant that God was sending desolation on this earth when they began to kill one another. And that didn't mean war. Kill one another is civil war. Well, we're not very far from it in Ulster at this moment. You remember that we followed these horses very carefully. And then we saw the saints being slain. For a while the church had gone, God didn't leave himself without a witness down here. And these tribulation saints, some of them were slain for the word of God and the testimony of Christ. Then at the end of chapter 6 we saw the whole world standing in consternation. The kings of the earth, the great men, the mighty men, the chief captains, holding their hands up, praying for the mountains and rocks to fall upon. You remember when we came to chapter 7, it was a parenthetical chapter. God just put it in parentheses. We saw the 144,000 being sealed off. They were all Jews. God was going to make them his witnesses. And at the end of that chapter we saw a mighty multitude that no man could number. We saw them brought out of the tribulation. These are they that came out of great tribulation. That's not the church. The church was never in the tribulation. They were in heaven before it started. This is another crowd coming out of the tribulation. They had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 8 began. It was that last seal, wasn't it? And the moment he opened it, seven angels stood there with seven trumpets. And when the first trumpet sounded, a third part of everything on the earth was burnt. When the second one sounded, a third part of everything around the earth, a third part of the ships. When the third one sounded, a third part of everything under the earth, the streams and the wells that we depend upon so much, were contaminated. And when the fourth angel sounded, a third part of everything above the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars, a third part of all were destroyed. These chapters brought us into the heart of the Great Tribulation. When we began chapter 9 last Tuesday, have a look at it now. You see, the fifth angel is sounding. And I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, unto him. And we went into this. It is a person. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. Now, in dealing with this mighty portion last week, I pointed out that Christ will come for the church. And then this time of great delusion will come to those who are left behind. And this time of desolation, when men will kill one another and civil war will rage the world over. And it seems that atomic energy will be used, because a third part of the trees and a third part of the ships and a third part of the streams and the rivers. And then, to make things worse, God is going to open the bottomless pit and let the demons out. And a great number, all on earth, will be possessed by demons. I'd like to take on all you amillennialists, because I would want you to come round and explain to me how the church would be down here with the Holy Ghost indwelling each member, and then demons come and possess them. Come round and explain to me. You must be dumb. Oh no, they're gone. And the pit will be opened. And we went into demonology last Tuesday, and we'll go a bit further into it tonight. It's a horrible subject. You know, we learn from the scriptures that demons can possess a human being, and they can take some of his vital parts and use them or abuse them. For instance, demons can possess a man and take hold of his voice box until he becomes dumb. The Lord cast out a demon from a dumb man in the New Testament, and immediately the demon was out, the dumb spake. Demons can do dreadful things to human beings. You remember there was a woman bent in two. Yea, she was bound, Christ saith. This daughter of Abraham was bound for 12 years, and Christ cast the demon out, and she was made straight. This is demons taking possession. And of course, we just hinted that not only do demons take vital parts like your voice or your eyes, or bend your body and take control, but demons can give you sort of super strength, like the man in the tombs who tore himself with rocks. What a mess he made out of himself. Lay out all night, every night, wear no clothes, but he never got the cold or anything. And he certainly didn't die. He was stronger than ever. Wasn't getting fed, but they put him in chains. He just smashed them. There was a little boy who was possessed of demons, and oftentimes they threw him into the river, but he was never drowned. And oftentimes his father said, into the fire, but he was never burned. Demonology is a horrible thing. The woman in the town last week who was possessed of a demon some years ago and threw herself naked on a burning, flaming fire, who was never even blistered. Yes, we went into this last week because in those days men will seek for death and shall not find it. My being possessed of demons is a horrible thing. But you know, when demons begin to take possession not only of physical bodily faculties, but begin to take possession of the mind and soul, I think they produce madness. Demon produced madness. But I think that this world is heading for a whole season of demon produced madness. Sometimes you would nearly think it had begun. You know, at the end of this great passage this evening, this is how the chapter ends. Let me go to the end first. It does say that the last shall be first, and you're allowed to do that, you see. Now, we're going to find that these demons this evening, taking possession of multitudes, will kill them. And it says in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, because demon worship is going to be revived in this particular period. And we'll go in a little bit into demon worship this evening. And it says that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. And of course, idolatry is going to be revived. I know that some of the upper 10 snobs, I know they look at me down with the eyebrows down. These are these super O-level, academically proud snobs that run around who think they know. They say men will never go back to idolatry again. We're out of the jungle a long time, as an old fellow said to me. Well, I shall prove quite convincingly that when the Antichrist takes over down here, that his second in command, who is called the false prophet, will set up an image, and the whole world will have to bow. And make no mistake, they'll bow. And it may well be that some of them will have replicas of gold and silver and wood and stone in their own homes. Oh yes, idolatry will be revived, all right. Make no mistakes about it. Just let's get it from the book and it'll be all right. But notice this very carefully. It says, verse 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and wood and of stone, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders." Because I'm perfectly sure, you know, that once the Church of Jesus Christ goes, and the Holy Ghost goes, and the truth is taken away, we're going to have more murders than we ever had before. But I'll go into that in a moment or two. Because I'm sure that this demon worship and this idolatry and these murders are all coming because demon madness is coming to this world. And it says this, verse 21, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries." And we'll go into that very carefully, because that's most important when we think of drugs today. "Nor of their fornication." And we're not just talking about adultery just now. Adultery would be almost a clean thing to what we're thinking about when we talk about fornication. It's going to be a horrible old world, isn't it? Demon worship, idolatry, murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts. Police force will be no use to this. In fact, if there is a police force, there'll be a great many of them demon possessed. But we'll better get this bill squared properly, so we must begin at the beginning just now. We're at verse 13. "And the sixth angel sounded," you remember. There were seven angels that had seven trumpets. And in chapter 8 we saw four of them sounding. Chapter 9 began with the fifth one sounding, and we saw the horrible things that happened, and now the sixth angel is sounding. "And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God." And of course, this is symbolic language in a certain sense. You see, when we talked in the days when we were dealing with the tabernacle about the golden altar, because I said to you that gold is something that's everlasting, never changes its power. The pound, the mark might float. Gold is always of value. It's everlasting. It's like God. And of course the horns of the altar spoke of power. And this simply means that the voice is a divine voice speaking with power. That's all that's there. just as this angel was sounding, John says, I heard a voice. It's a divine voice, speaking with power, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, there's nothing symbolical about the river Euphrates. It is a geographical location. Make no mistake about that. And when we talk about angels, we're talking about angels, and we're talking about four angels, and we're talking about them being bound. That gives me all the news I need. They are four fallen angels. Somebody said to me once, are you sure? I'm perfectly sure that you don't bind good ones. They've been bound. Let's go back just for a moment to Jude. That little epistle of Jude. Only one chapter, and verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. These are fallen angels. These are angels that followed Satan in his fall. Angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He, that is God, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then that's a very mighty statement. And I think that some of us read it as if it simply meant that the angels were kept in chains, some sort of a prison that God could keep angels in, unto the day he was going to judge them, and I'm not so sure it means that at all. It may well mean that he's keeping them there until the judgment that we're talking about just now, which is the judgment from God in the tribulation. And he may well use them. I think he did last week. He opened the bottomless pit and let countless thousands of them out. But these are four particular angels. And you know, these four angels are bound. Why bound? Because they were wicked spirits. As I see them being loosed here, I can see that they have only one ambition, and that is to kill men and women. I wonder, is that why they were bound? Did mercy bind them down through the years in case they would touch the human beings? Is it the wrath of God that's going to loose them? You think, no, and I'll do the shouting. Yes, they're being loosed now. They're actual angels. They were bound. God has a prison somewhere near the Euphrates, or maybe under it. Now, you can see that they're a particular four. And you can see the next verse, verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. That's a particular hour, you know. You noticed last week when God let these demons out of the prison, verse 5 said this, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, that is, the men that had the seal of God, but that they should be tormented 5 months. The men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads, they were to be tormented 5 months. Now that was just the season of demoniacal torment that was coming to this world, such as taking faculties and all that sort of thing. This is a wee bit different tonight. You can see how wonderfully it's put an hour and a day and a month and a year. Roughly speaking, there's about 13 months here. That's what it is. Might be a day and an hour over. But if the tribulation is going to last 3.5 years, I can tell you, if you take the 5 months of last week and the year and the month now, you have got 1 year and 6 months of it dotted up. You just go on counting carefully now. I don't know what year that will be, but I can tell you God knows. God has the year dotted down in His calendar. Maybe our calendar's not right anyway. But God has the year and the month and the day and the hour all marked down. He's going to readjust this world, you know. And He'll do it His way. And God pity you if you're here when He's doing it. You can see it's a particular four, and you can see it's a particular hour. And you can see it's for a particular purpose. Verse 15, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. My, what a purpose. Supposing we say, for the sake of easy counting for me, that there are 30,000 in this town, the population, then a third part is 10,000, isn't it? My, when we find that somebody's been shot, some creature is doing his duty and he's shot, we're annoyed. And if there's two shot, we're more annoyed. And if there's 10 blown to pieces, we're terribly annoyed, and we ought to be. 10,000 would make a better news. Are you reading properly now? Because I didn't print this book, you know. Been here a long time. Yes, you can see this. You can see the particular four and the particular hour and the particular purpose to slay the third part of men. Of course, anybody could see that four angels, mighty and vicious and wicked and unclean and diabolical as they may be, couldn't do this job very easily on their own, or it would take quite a time. They're not omnipresent, you know, in case you thought they were sort of gods. No, but they're going to have an army. You can see the army here. Verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And it's a particular number. What an army! You know, I can tell you this, that the demons just won't run wild, you know. They're a very skillfully trained army. Last week, I think you noticed it, and some of you were surprised when I pointed out that these demons out of the pit, do you see verse 11? And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, which means destroyer. But you know, the very fact that they're named as an army, and the very fact that they can be commanded, and the very fact that they have a king, is that this whole thing is an ordered business. I don't think that the devil riots the way fools do, or hooligans, you know. This is a very ordered business. And these four wicked angels who were still bound when the pit was opened last week because God didn't want them out, they're going to lead this attack. And they have one ambition, and that's to kill. Third part of the earth God will allow them to kill. Have a look at the particular description that's here, verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. That's John looking. And them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone. You would know that fire and smoke and brimstone belongs to hell, wouldn't you? I would hope you would know that. What a picture we're seeing. He has to give it to John in the sort of language that he can jot down. And in case you might be taken up by the horses, let's go back to see how they appeared last week. Verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Well, you know that you cannot command locusts, don't you? And you know that the food of locusts is just the grass and the green things in the trees. But these locusts were commanded. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, they were able to differentiate between the 144,000 that were sealed and the millions that were not. Oh, this is an intelligent army. And we're back to the same thing again, under another picture. I want you to watch these. Verse 18, by these three, that is the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and at heads with them do they hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. You see, as I see the thing, these four are let loose and they're bringing this mighty army of demons with them for the one sole purpose of killing men. And the way they go about it is, first of all, to get demon worship settled again on the planet. Demon worship's a terrible thing. I know that some of you condemn the old television, and whether you're right or wrong, I just wouldn't know. But I know that I see things sometimes that I couldn't possibly see any other way. And I saw just not long ago, and I sat up to see it too, a whole band of witches down in the New Forest. And that's a very well-known landmark in England, isn't it? And all these witches, I think some of you must have saw this, they were dancing around in the middle of the night, and they were all naked, absolutely naked, men and women. You know, this witchcraft, a horrible thing. I believe, you know, that we have little pockets of this at this present time all over the world. I know we used to just have it in the jungle with the witch doctor, but we have it in other places just now. You know, it was said of Hitler that he used to shut himself alone for hours in the dark. And it was said that he talked to demons. And it seems to me from his actions that he did. Because the things that were done with human beings didn't come from ordinary human intelligence. Some of the atrocities that are happening in the north of Ireland just now, you would wonder if demons are not instructing some of them. Go ahead now. Think on. Yes. You know, we were reading in Daniel, you remember this in the class, knows Daniel, we've been through this very carefully. That when the Antichrist shall come and set up his kingdom, and he'll come out of the common market that Mr. Heath laughs so much about, it says that he will understand dark sentences. Do you remember that? Yes, I know that his power is going to be satanic power and he's going to be demon-possessed. I think that once the church goes out and the Holy Ghost withdraws, I think you're going to find this springing all round on this old planet of Earth, and the Antichrist will lead it and we'll be back to that cursed thing called demon worshipped. It's almost a contradiction in terms to put the two words together, demon worship. But let's see what else they did, you know. We're going to have this idolatry revived again. And though the smart aleks argue against it, when we come to chapter 13, we'll see the image set up. And the whole world commanded to bow down. I have a piece of paper in the back of the Bible somewhere, just right back here. Yeah, cut this out. No, I didn't cut it out. Harry Edgar cut it out. He reads the papers for me. And to get it into the light. In America, they're testing equipment that could be adapted to switch on at government command every television and radio set in the land. They're testing this out now so that they all can switch on your radio without you switching it on. The idea is, and they're officially admitting it in Washington, that private homes could be hooked up and switched on to receive whatever message the government or central authority cared to transmit. I believed that years ago. I believe the Antichrist will use the old television. And I believe he'll give you your orders through it. And I believe that they'll not only be able to switch it on, but they'll be able to watch if you do as you're told. I think it said that at the end of that thing, that it could be reversed some way, that they could watch what you're doing. And the system, it is reported, could be further adapted so that all TV and radio sets would act as transmitters. So the government would see and hear what goes on in every home. There, in printer, that's paper. What is it? Bless you, Harry, it's the Sunday People. You shouldn't be carrying that about with me, surely. Never mind. My dear friends, I want you to get the hold of that. That's a tremendous thing. Because I think that the Antichrist will use this thing. And you'll get your command and they'll be able to watch you. And if you don't bow down, if you don't worship images, his image, then you'll be slain. Oh, I can tell the smart aleks that idolatry will come to this world with a flood tide. I can tell them that. Watch this. You know, when these demons come to possess the minds of men, it will not only be demon worship and idolatry, murders. That's a tremendous word. Of course, you know, we're almost getting the lead up to this now, aren't we? Because I'm not just thinking about the murders of policemen and others in this country just now. I'm thinking about the British government giving a license for abortion. That's what I'm thinking about. Because I can tell you, you know, that if a baby's conceived and it's living in a mother's womb, to destroy it, you're murdering someone. And you're sinning against God. Medical specialist came to see me once. He said, I want you to talk to me about this abortion. I said, that'll be a pleasure. I opened this book and read this to him and scared the life out of him. God says in Jeremiah, you just listen. Look at when you go home, it's the first chapter. God said, when I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I'm quoting God's word. Don't blush, you're big enough. When I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. If God forms a child in a mother's womb, how dare you take its life? Murders. Queen's University sent for me not so long ago to come to preach to them on euthanasia. That's killing old folks. Why, you know, if it wasn't so serious, you could almost smile at it. You see, before you're born, you might be murdered if your mother doesn't want you. And if you grow old enough, you might be killed if your sons and daughters don't want you. Surgeon tried to talk to me about this, you know. He said, there are old folks who don't want to live. And it's a mercy to put them away. I said, if they put themselves away, what do you say? Oh, that's suicide. Fair enough. Well, imagine an old person lying on the bed. They want to be done in. Leave strychnine down beside them, doctor. If she takes it, it's suicide. If you give it to her, it's mercy. You must be dopey, I said. Ah, don't talk crap. Let's get honest about the thing. It's murder! They have no right to take anybody's life. No matter what they think about. That happens to be in the hands of God, not in a fool like you. We're going to have a lot of murders, aren't we? Because I can tell you that once the church goes and there's nobody to speak out and there's no Holy Ghost to challenge the state, they'll just kill as many babies as they like and they'll kill all the old folk they want to. Are you listening now? Because that's the world you're heading for if you're not saved. And demons will see to it that it's revived. Always thank God for my mother. There were 17 in our family, and I'm number 17. I wouldn't have a chance these days, would I? No, oh, you're too slow thinking. They would have done me in long ago. I wouldn't have been a chance. Let the Methodists think like this, that John Wesley was number 16 in his family. Good job his mother spared them, wasn't it? They're doing away with kids that might be useful to both state and church, and they're robbing the whole world. And some of you are saying amen to the murders. Oh, when the church goes, it's going to be a lot more. Of course, you know, we can see not only the abortion and the euthanasia, but think of the political crimes that's going on now, what it'll be like then. My, if you dare to state now what you think and what you believe, you mightn't get home. The day we're living in Ulster, isn't it? And the terrorists seem to try to shut everybody up and close everything down by murder. Ah, they'll never win. Not while the church is here. I can tell you that God says to all the believers, don't you put your hand in this. Don't you render evil for evil. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I'm telling you, He will. He will. And if God takes the church out of this world this night, what a repayment will come that they never dreamed about. There's another army come, and they're neither orange nor purple nor green nor white. They're demons. Yes. You know Nixon. And I wouldn't like his job. Not for £1 million a day. And I think that all these creatures have a terrible job. Now he's fighting in the White House this very day to have the death penalty reinstated. I think he sees things, doesn't he? I think he's right, you know. That's what I think. And it would be a pity of Ulster if it ever went completely. I had my way, you know. I would introduce the birch again. And if two or three of them got a smack or two where they would feel it most, it might settle them down a wee bit. I think the state is here, you know, for the punishment of evildoers. And it has failed. They don't need to talk to me about the church failing. The state is failed. They punish nobody. Lot of old fuzzy duzzies sitting on the bench magistrate, so I can't spell the word, never mind. They amuse me. Oh, this is our wonderful law. Yes. We need evildoers punished. Taking them out through the park for a walk now after the murder kids. It won't do. Watch this now. Because when these demons come, not only this demon worship and this idolatry and these murders, but these sorceries. You know, if you go home and look up the dictionary tonight, any one of them, you'll find what they say about sorcery. They say it's taking command of a human mind by devilish power. And I'm sorry to have to argue with those who write the dictionary, but I don't think that's the whole truth. I know it's taking command of a human mind, but it's by diabolical powers through poisonous drugs. Why shouldn't they put an end? Why do you think the witch doctors works in the jungle? They make up different things, you know. And you know some of the boys who are very far removed from the jungle, they have learned that when you smoke certain things, and when you take certain drugs or pills, and when you get certain injections in the bloodstream that you go high. Oh, they've learned this, you know. They're better dressed than the boys in the jungle, I know. They've learned. And I think we're just seeing the little beginnings, the forerunner. Take the church away. Take the truth away. Take the Holy Ghost away till you see what will happen. That's sorcery. That's what it is. And it's demons that have instructed men how to use these things. Diabolical, that, you know. And there's a lot more to be discovered about it that the demons will discover for them. Yes. You know, it goes on here, it gets worse, I think, as it goes on. Worship of devils or demons, and then idolatry, and then murder, and then sorceries, and then fornication. Fornication, you know, is sex that's abhorrent to most folks. Men with men. British government, under Wilson with his pipe, gave them a license so that men could have sex with men. And Lady Summerskill, she's no lady. I have another word for her. I daren't tell you, of course. She stands up in the British Parliament and votes that men should have sex with men. You wouldn't call that a lady, would you? But you know, it's worse than that. It's not only men with men, but men with animals. And women with animals. They've traveled this world, you know. No trick or two. I've listened, you know, in the vestries. Women come in broken down and tell you what that you could hardly believe it. And men lying with pigs in the byre. Oh, I could scare you, you know. You think I'm outrageous at times. You don't know the half of what goes through my mind. I shake this meeting, you know, at my dead ease. And the point is that it is the truth. It is the truth. Well, it's going to multiply. I believe, you know, that away back in the days of Noah, when these angels came into the daughters of men, I don't think that angels have any sex organs. No, but I know that these fallen angels can possess men to use their sex organs. And I believe what's supposed to be sex as demon sex might be the better word. And if you knew some of the dens around this country, you know, you would know. No, all right. It isn't even lust, that isn't the proper word. The devil at work. Going to get worse. You see, when these ones are let loose and take command, the whole world's going to go mad. Demon worship, idolatry, murder, sorceries, fornication, theft. You know, theft is a long way down this calendar, isn't it? But I don't think that that's just ordinary thieving, you know. There's a couple of clowns broke into an old lady away down Edward Street. There's your Roman Catholic. 84 she was. Young fellow, 16. One of them breaks her jaw with the first clout. I don't think that I should stand for that. I don't like to see an old Roman Catholic woman being battered about like that. I don't care who the two of them were, or what they are, or who they belong to. I think it's coming pretty near demon possession. Hit an old soul like that. My, you would feel like doing things at times. The state should do it. You'd think the state was scared at times. Two lads break into an old woman and hammer around like that, I'll tell you, they should get a birching. And I wish I was allowed to let on. We're going into it. It's in the book. It's been there a long time, you know. You see, what I believe is what Jesus said. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Lot. My, these men from Sodom, when they were stricken even with blindness, groveled for the door because there were two fresh men came into the town. They wanted sex with them. Oh, no wonder God burned the place. You got a wee lass that's not saved. I want to talk to you now. Where are you going prayer meeting night? Man, you should crawl here to the prayer meeting to pray for them. What are you doing? Lying with your heels up, looking at the television. I don't know whether you're saved or not. You, sir, you've got a couple of sons, have you? You're fiddling around while they go to hell. Is that you? Ah, bow your head and blush. We're the boys, you know. We know it all. We can get it in the book any time, can't we? Some of you are just fiddling around. That's what you're doing. Time we woke up, you know. I can tell you this. Jesus is coming soon. I will come again. Quickly. If the Lord took us away tonight, do you see the world of tomorrow? Do you see the town of tomorrow? Do you see your children? Do you see your parents? Do you see your friends? Under demon worship, do you? I will wake up tonight and give your heart and soul and time and life and money to God. Wake up. That's what we need. Some of the believers sitting splitting hairs about this and that and the other. They're a bunch of Pharisees. May God speak to us. What a day it's going to be. May God awaken us. May God revive us. Next Tuesday, Chapter 10 is a mighty one. You have a look at it and then we'll deal it properly.